Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
And Mom, I'm done with my segment.
With Shope and the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. And by Goya. If it's Goya, it has to be good.
We are live at the Buffalo Convention Center tonight for tonight's Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame dinner. Mike Shope and the Bulldog joined now by the legend, John Clayton, joining us via the Westher Hotline. John, did you hear that story about the Clippers wearing Buffalo Braves jerseys tonight, and does that interest you?
Sure. I mean, why are they doing that?
Well, it's the same franchise, and we're in sort of this place in time where teams like their retro stuff, they can sell it.
Okay.
So that's probably it.
Yep.
Kind of unusual, but I guess it's interesting. Yeah. Go Clippers.
Is it go Clippers. Is it unusual because it's like in a different city?
Well, different sport, I guess. I mean, that's the
No, same sport.
No, the Braves were
Buffalo
in NBA.
Braves.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Yeah.
They were our NBA team in the early to the mid-70s. Like by 78, it's over, I think.
Yeah. I thought maybe you would have known about them or followed them.
Yeah.
Maybe not?
Not really, no.
Not
no.
An NBA guy at
but,
all?
But
it,
what's the weather going to be like in Cleveland on Sunday?
We just looked and saw a high of 51 and mostly cloudy and windy.
Oh, okay. So it's not going to be snowing or anything like that.
No, not so bad.
Go to that game or not. I was debating whether to see that game.
You would go to Cleveland on a Sunday and then San Francisco on Monday night. That does sound like you.
That would be correct. I need the miles, so that's one of the reasons I'd definitely do it.
All right.
So do you think you might go?
I mean, right now I got a ticket to fly there.
All right.
But again, it's like, I don't know. I mean, just having seen the Browns a couple weeks ago and knowing now that Baker Mayfield shaved off the end part of his mustache, I'm debating it might not be a good idea to go.
The end part of the mustache.
Yes, yeah. you were in Cleveland for when the Seahawks played them.
That is correct.
That was a good game. Bulldog was going to go to that game himself.
I was never really going to go to
that
game.
He was in town.
We talked about it. So I missed out. The mustache thing, like he shaved. He got to the stadium in a beard, shaved down to a Fu Manchu, and then shaved the Fu Manchu part off. I heard him today wrongly call it a handlebar. And it was not a handlebar that he was rocking during that game. I just want to set the record straight for facial hair enthusiasts across the world.
He sounds like he's somebody who should know with all these different attempts.
Handlebar is like the thing that, like Raleigh Fingers, John, you remember Raleigh Fingers.
I sure do, yeah.
That's a handlebar, right? You got like gel in that, and it's all twirled out.
You can grab onto it.
Right. Handlebars. It's sticking off your face like handlebars. Fu Manchu is like Joe Namath rocked that in the 70s. That's what Mayfield had for that game. He's got to get his facial hair commentary right before he's going to win anything.
Well, I mean, does that show you what a mess that team is?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, I'm down at the sidelines and I'm watching Odell Beckham Jr. show off his $350,000 watch to teammates. You've got him more worried about his facial look than getting the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. You've got him, you know, saying the lack of accountability for some of the players is not good right now. I mean, this is just a mess.
What do you make of the Browns at 2-6 being favored over the Bills at 6-2?
It's wrong. I mean, I think what they're looking at is that, I guess, home field plays into it. Obviously, the lack of respect the Bills are getting for, you know, what's likely to be an 11-win season with an easy record. I think that's all part of it. It's a lack of respect. I would imagine it's going to be a good motivating tool right now for the team. I think that could help out.
Do you think they deserve more respect?
Yes. Yeah. Because again, it's like, did everybody respect Chicago last year? I mean, they were 12-4. You know, they played the easy schedule. They only had five games against winning teams, and everybody respected them. What nobody realized, and I guess I don't know. It's such a down cycle in the AFC right now, so I don't think AFC gets much respect whatsoever, because always it's going to be the New England Patriots winning everything. But I think what it comes down to is that Chicago gets the respect for bouncing back and having Matt Nagy as coach and all these different things, and now this year they stink because they're playing a tougher schedule and they're not doing as well. And I look at it the same way right now with Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo, they've got a good defense. You know, they're playing easy teams and winning those games, and they're taking care of business, and that should be good enough, but apparently it's not good enough for the odds makers.
Do you think it's a good idea for the Browns to, if this is not the wrong word, it might be overstating it a little, force the ball to Beckham on Sunday against the Bills, John?
I think it's dangerous. I know that's been the theme that's been there the last 2 days, to try to do it that way, and they need to get him more involved in the game. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. goes there, is one of the best young receivers in the league, and he hasn't had a touchdown pass since week two, and he's almost not a non-factor because of the double coverage. But I think any time you start forcing the ball when you've got one of the leaders in turnovers, you lead yourself into trouble, particularly a smart defense like the Bills have. That, I think, could be problematic.
What is the – let's talk about the Bears again for a minute, like last year's Bears. We compared Trubisky, hopefully, or just looking forward to the season, Josh Allen year two, maybe comparing with Trubisky's year two. And, for the most part, we did so because we considered that successful. Statistically, for the most part, it was successful. The wins were there. They did lose the playoff game. They missed the field goal, or else they would have won that playoff game anyway. Then this year, it's like off the rails with Trubisky. I can't believe how harsh it is toward him. Like, everybody seems to be done. What's the lesson in that comparison, if there is one, or was it wrong in the first place?
Well, I guess what it is that it's the reaction of fans when things go wrong. They're going to blame one of two people. They're going to blame the quarterback, or they're going to blame the coach. And then if the losing continues, then they want to run both out of town. And so that, I think, is just kind of the nature of football and the nature of sports. And so you can see, it's like, I mean, there's no winning right now for Trubisky in that town, and now they're starting to turn on Nagy. And I think that's wrong, because I think still we're in that phase where you take young quarterbacks and you're probably moving them up too quickly, because you want them to play in the first year. They play in the first year, and if they struggle, next thing you know, they're being criticized.
What do you think this year, one of the stories of this year, we've been talking a lot about it in the last couple of weeks, is how many quarterbacks have gone in. There have been injuries and different reasons for that. Kyle Allen is one of several that fit this criteria, and they haven't looked bad. They might even have looked good. That's Minshew with Jacksonville before he was pulled. You know, a guy like Ryan Finley goes in for Cincinnati, and unlike other years, this year I'm thinking, well, maybe he's fine. Like, it's just sort of, it seems like the right approach to this year is that the backups are holding their own.
Mm-hmm, they are. And that is unusual, particularly the poor way the NFL is developing the backups. I mean, because now, each year it seems like you have 8 or 9 quarterbacks that are backup quarterbacks on 2 quarterback rosters, and they've never had a start, which I think is kind of crazy, because that's why this NFL needs a developmental league, or they need a XFL to help get these quarterbacks who don't get a chance to play to get a chance to play. But no, it's been uncharacteristically good, because, again, using that old Ted Marchabrota line that, if you have a good backup quarterback, you go out and you play him 3 games and he wins you 3, but if you play him 6, he'll lose you 3. But if you can get more 500 quarterbacks, and this year more guys are emerging as 500 quarterbacks or better, Gardner Minshew, who is 4-4, and then you've got Kyle Allen, who's 5-1, you had Teddy Bridgewater, who's 5-0, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, he's 5-3, now that he's now technically the starting quarterback. So there's been a lot of better type of surprises like that, and that's a good thing. I mean, Brandon Allen, nobody's ever heard about. I mean, he ended up just beating the Cleveland Browns in his first start ever.
I have not seen Kyle Allen throw a pass, so I'm not here to declare whether or not I mean, I could see the numbers and I could see the wins. But I have no idea, what kind of quality he represents. With that said, what do you think the Panthers end up doing with Cam Newton, John?
I think they move on, because he's going to make $21.1 million. And here's what's working against him. His running style has caused him to have 2 shoulder injuries, to a point where last year he couldn't get the ball deep. He couldn't get it over 20, 25 yards downfield. Number 2 is that You know, he's now got the Liz Frank injury. He's 31 years old. The body's starting to fall apart. So then you also look at what's happened his last eight starts. He's 0-8. And this is at a time where Kyle Allen's on the same team as the backup, and he was 1-0 last year and 5-1 this year. So something's amiss right now, and there's enough available quarterbacks that I think that they can negotiate something. You know, I don't know if it's a trade that they can trade Cam Newton, but let me look at the quarterbacks you can get. I'm not saying they're great answers, but you can get Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and several others. You can trade for Andy Dalton, who has a favorable contract. So there's enough I think they can do, but it's just time to move on from Cam Newton. As great as he's been for them, and he's been good. I mean, he has an MVP to his credit. He has a Super Bowl trip to his credit, but he's got a lot of injuries. And he also wears bad outfits.
Right. Oh, come on. You'd wear those clothes all day.
With all that said, if they were to just out and out release him, get out from under the contract, does he get a massive contract from a new team? What's the future for him?
I'm kind of thinking he'll get kind of a Jacoby Brissett contract, maybe $15 million. It would have to be kind of a prove-it type of contract because, again, first you have to see, okay, where's the body at? How healthy is the guy? Then the next thing is to go and look and say, all right, how do you fit into the type of offense? And it's like, and then you ask him the big question, are you now going to take the tack that it's like you're going to listen to us and not just run the ball and run over people and try to expose your body to so much injury and pain?
There might be half the teams in the league where right now it would be tough to predict who their starter is next year. Do you think it's that many?
No, I don't think so. I mean, normally it's going to be, you know, 7 or 8. I mean, this year was a little bit less. But you have so many young quarterbacks that have come in here the last 3 years. You've got to give them time to be able to figure out if they're good, bad, or indifferent. Now, maybe that's going to be the case with Chicago. Chicago may take the tack that's like, okay, we've got to give up on Mitch Trubisky. But, you know, a lot of the quarterbacks from last year's draft, they're not going to give up. They're not going to give up on Sam Darnold. They're not going to give up on, you know, obviously Josh Allen's going to be fine and all that. But, you know, you give them an extra year or so they're not going to be in the market for quarterbacks. Plus, they all have affordable rookie contracts.
Are you sure about that with respect to Darnold, that – like, if this Jet season plays out the way it has so far, that they would, like, he would just not, no questions asked, be their starting quarterback at the beginning of next season?
I mean, the only thing that they might do, and I don't think they necessarily would do it, I mean, first, if he continues struggling like he's struggling now, it's going to be on Adam Gase. He's going to be the one that's going to be sacrificed because they're going to take the tack. Adam didn't do a good job of coaching up Sam Darnold, but they'll give Darnold another year. Now, maybe what they do as a counter is bring in a good backup quarterback to at least challenge him, a veteran, that if things don't go right. But I think Sam has too much talent to just say, okay, one bad season is going to wipe this guy off our slates. I mean, you've seen it, you know, like even like one of the bad case scenarios from like the 2011 draft. Remember that was Sam Ponder, and that was
Christian Ponder.
Christian Ponder, not Sam,
not his wife. Yes,
yeah, that's his wife. But yeah, Christian Ponder, and then
Gabbert.
You got Blake Bortles, and you know, even with Blake Bortles, as bad as he was, he had the one good year when they went to the AFC Championship game. So I don't think you give up on a quarterback like Darnold that early.
One veteran name to keep in mind for that perhaps is Tom Brady. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, what about Drew Brees? What about Phillip Rivers? What about Eli Manning?
None of them has a contract. That's right. Yeah. That's right. What about Pittsburgh?
Right now, they're anticipating Ben Roethlisberger being back. In fact, they think that with the elbow, he should be able to start throwing by the OTAs.
How many – you mentioned Adam Gase there. Kitchens seems like he's in trouble. How many coaching vacancies? Those guys would have, you know, the notoriety of being one and dones if they do get fired. I don't know. Are you assuming both of those guys even make it to the end of the season, John?
I'm assuming, yeah. I mean, you still look at Cleveland's schedule, and it's all favorable. I mean, I thought, yeah, particularly going against Denver, that I just did a quick scan of the schedule, and I said, yep, they'll finish 7-9. And then that obviously changed because they ended up losing to Denver, and I was anticipating they would lose to Buffalo. But again, they still have enough winnable games that I think that they can, you know, get the 6 wins now. But that's not going to get – that'll keep them in the ballpark. But if they continue to lose to losing teams, then he'll get. I think he'll get axed out before the end of the season. And same thing for Adam Gase. I mean, Adam Gase has favorable, easy games coming up, but you can't lose to a Miami Dolphin team, particularly a team that you coached, and anticipate that you have some longevity as bad as this season has gone.
Who's your pick right now to finish last and pick first?
I still go with Miami because I still think the effort's there. The talent isn't there. I mean, they only have now one remaining player that's been to the Pro Bowl. One, and that's Rashad Jones, and he's still banged up. And so that's not good. And because now when they put Xavier Howard on the injured reserve list, that cut their list of Pro Bowl caliber players in half, and they don't have a lot on the roster. They don't have a good offensive line. And you know how it is with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He goes into that good backup quarterback tally. So, again, he's going to start fading here in about a week or two. And that means that they'll have to go back to Josh Rosen, and everything's all set for that 2-14 season.
You know, the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, one thought that was out there that I had about that trade is, okay, so you're trading a safety for first round picks. Like, what difference does that really make? Like, he's a good player, okay, but how is this going to save Pittsburgh? And I think if you think about a couple specific games, that has been worth a lot already. The play he made against Indianapolis, there's no bigger play in that game. Indianapolis can still win it with a field goal that they miss, and they miss. And then the game against the Dolphins even, like, maybe that's even a Dolphins win if he plays for Miami instead of Pittsburgh that night. Maybe not, but it's possible. So it's interesting, like, the Steelers, that's a huge risk that they took, obviously, with that trade. And so far, they look great for it.
Oh, I see. Here's what they're thinking is that they didn't care. Because one of the things that they did last year, which is a little un-Pittsburgh-like, is they traded with Denver to move up to get the 10th pick so they can get Devin Bush. Mm-hmm. And they figured, okay, here's our Pro Bowl-caliber inside linebacker for many, many years. And he's raw right now, but he still has the talent to be able to do it. With Minkah Fitzpatrick, their thought was, hey, I don't care if we're drafting 7th, 8th, or 9th in the draft. This guy's better than anybody we're going to get in next year's draft at that number. And so they took the risk, and they came out big. He's had 4 interceptions, including a pick six. He's had 2 forced fumbles. He's had a fumble recovery. He's been fantastic. And so their thinking was he can help get this defense better quicker if we get him now, and we have him for a couple years. And that's why I think it may look like the Dolphins fleeced the Steelers. I think the Steelers fleeced the Dolphins.
It looks to me like the Bears trade, and maybe with the Raiders, and maybe a better example is the Amari Cooper trade, where the team getting the pick looks great. I mean, the Raiders never didn't look great for what they got anyway. Like, why trade Khalil Mack, and that's why trade Minkah Fitzpatrick or Tunsil or even Cooper. But you still get that pick, and that's worth a lot. But the player has to really matter on that team, and that's happened here in the way that Mack did, mm-hmm. and Cooper. Like, Dallas would not have wanted a do-over, I assume, on the trade they made for Amari Cooper, because he's really mattered for them.
Oh, no question. I mean, you can make the argument that those two trades changed the whole scale of things in the NFC last year. You put Mack, who is a generational-type player, on that team, and with the easy schedule and everything favorable, particularly with Vic Fangio coaching, they end up going 12-4. You look at with Dallas, I don't think Dallas would have made the playoffs without Amari Cooper. And now you see even this year, even though he's battling injury, Cooper, and again, it's funny because here's Cooper, a first-round talent. You're thinking, okay, it's all talent. His route running is sensational. And so now Dak Prescott is putting up numbers he's never put up before. And so that changed the balance of power in the NFC last year and really helped make 2 playoff teams. Now, the interesting transition is that Oakland now is starting to get some benefit from that trade. I mean, they get Josh Jacobs, who I think is going to be the AFC or the he'll be the offensive rookie of the year for his running ability. And, we'll have to study how the rest of those picks go. I mean, again, they don't have a pass rush in Oakland. That's one thing they're still missing. That's just part of it. But, remember, I mean, that's why the records are so askew this year, because, the Raiders are a 6-10 team that's 4-4. You look at the Bills, they're a 9-win team that's going to win 11, and I still stand by 11. I just look at everything, I just think it's going to be 11. So it's like, and I haven't changed. I mean, I'm staying with that. But again, it's like an 8 or 9 win team that's going to win 11. Hey, that's the breaks of the game.
This is the week for that prediction.
Right. Yeah. If they get this one, then I think the 11, who knows?
Maybe I could see more. It if they win this week.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, I think they,
yep.
that would be
same here.
A lot.
Yep.
John, any questions for us?
So are we all clippered out with the uniforms and all that?
Right.
I love them.
I'm glad we got to establish why it made some sense that it was
actually.
Yeah,
because I was wondering, it's like, why do we have basketball uniforms?
That does, yeah. Yeah,
yeah that's – okay. I don't remember the Braves. I don't go back to the Braves, but
– Yeah, particularly in hockey. I guess, like, you just can't have open sleeves. I mean, you got to have sleeves.
No, great point. Finally someone said it. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.